This is Richard Reeser, and you are listening to the world's most thermodynamically sound podcast.
Headphones on, volume up. Headphones on, volume up. I came for the money, I came for the gains. I wanted a Lambo and side chicks on planes. But after a while, my NPC brain became obsessed with the immutable chain. Just the start.
Welcome back to the Bugle. If you know, we got a lot of new listeners. The bull market is right now, it's a little bit paused. There's a lot going on, and got a lot of new listeners. And if you're wondering what is the Bugle Weekly Podcast, it is the podcast, the Bitcoin podcast, for people who listen to 40 hours of Bitcoin podcasts per week. The game theory, the incentive analysis, the cultural analysis that we do here, the difficulty may seem high, but if you listen to 40 hours per week, you'll be able to pick up pretty quickly. A whole lot of stuff going on the past 2 weeks. Donald Trump's first Bitcoin president's first 2 weeks in office have been even bigger than I think almost anybody could have anticipated. What's going through your mind as a Bitcoin podcaster, Richard? How to report the news in this market, in this environment?
I think it's really difficult for Bitcoin podcasters right now. The thing about Donald Trump and what's happening right now is he's making things incredibly unpredictable. And as Bitcoin podcasters, it's like we've had a crystal ball for years, right?
Yes.
Predicting Bitcoin winning. We've been predicting the demise of fiat. We've been predicting all these things. But now that a lot of things that we predicted have come true or are coming true, the game theory is playing out before our eyes. Now we have to look to what happens afterwards. And I don't think we've spent enough time pontificating on what we think that future of going into a world where Bitcoin has already won.
Right. We very accurately recognized and predicted the demise of the fiat system, the demise of the legacy financial markets. But we didn't know Bitcoin had already won. We didn't know what that meant. We don't know what to expect. Nobody knows what Bitcoin will fix and when it will fix it any given day anymore. We're finding out through breaking tweets, the videos, viral videos, meme coins, what part of the world, what part of the market, what part of the economy, what part of the international order did Bitcoin fix today? And it comes so fast, and Donald Trump is just pumping it. And the price doesn't look like it reflects this NGU that we expected, but life doesn't come at you linearly, and you just have to look around you and see, oh my God, Bitcoin just fixed immigration, Bitcoin just fixed US aid, Bitcoin just fixed the deep state, Bitcoin just fixed the layoffs of the CIA, and it's just happening so fast. Nobody expected that it would take only 2 weeks.
Yeah, the world is changing before our eyes incredibly quickly, and it's a result of all of us. It's a result of the Bitcoin podcasters. Like that is what allowed the world to change in this manner. So I think if you're a Bitcoin podcaster, you should be patting yourself on the back.
Absolutely. People are listening to at minimum 40 hours of Bitcoin podcast per week. And they're not doing that. The Bitcoiners, if anybody in the world understands the value of time, it's Bitcoiners. And people who listen to Bitcoin podcasts, they would not be spending their scarce time listening to 40 hours of Bitcoin podcasts per week if the signal wasn't so strong. And that is ever more true in this PSYOP era. I mean, every time you look on the timeline, you know, another CIA agent, another Fed has been given the pink slip, sent home, been fired from the CIA, everything. It's just one win after another. And we need to remember who is talking, who is reporting the news, and who's being bullish, but serious and responsible with the reporting of their news. I mean, who is just giving you, you know, anti-Fed porn, right?
Yeah. We went over a few of our predictions last week, and I think we should just, you know, as they come up, as we feel inspired, give predictions. One of the predictions...
Hey, predictions already came true. Mm-hmm. Plenitor accused and exposed Ross Ulbricht of being a shitcoiner a couple of days ago because Ross Ulbricht liquidated some meme coins that were sent to him by some of the people in the community who just think he's hot and they want to support him.
That was a very good prediction on your part.
And what prediction did you want to bring up or discuss in further detail today?
Well, one of the things I just want to say, so the Bitcoin price dipped today. It's down to $97,000 USTT per coin. I think this is going to be short term, but my question is, what Bitcoin podcasters quit to drive the price down?
Right. That, you know, what is the leading indicator that is really becoming a headwind towards the effort of NGU? I mean, Bitcoin podcasters provide a tailwind to the NGU and to the smooth scaling, you know, or smooth sailing to the moon. But these defectors, these quitters, they provide that headwind that slows it down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the price will recover. And one of the reasons why I think the price will recover, around the time that we should be publishing this episode, Sly Goomba should be publishing his first episode. His hiatus is coming to an end. And some alpha here, he interviewed Bitcoin Kaz.
BTC Kaz. Mm-hmm. The Oklahoma Bitcoin miner with the mustache base. I'm looking forward to that. Yeah, it's, if anybody remembers, Sly Goomba launched his original Bitcoin podcast, Why Bitcoin, in around the same time in the bull market cycle at the last cycle. And now he's coming back almost the exact same time. The Bitcoin price, I mean, last time he did this, the Bitcoin price went like 8x. So I think that we are just in a, you know, a very minor, you know, early bull market lull. And one of the leading indicators is like the Bitcoin podcast coming back.
Mm-hmm. I mean, fundamentals single-handedly, you know, both Ungovernable Misfits and fundamentals are starting new Bitcoin podcasts, which is also very bullish for price. I was listening to Fundamentals Math podcast. I don't know if you've gotten a chance to listen to that one yet, but I think they're already four episodes deep.
Oh, yeah. Fundamentals is one of those, you know, you hear about it in MMA, mixed martial arts, Brazilian jiu-jitsu. Somebody like BJ Penn or some other prodigy will step out on the mat as a white belt and accomplish the training and understanding of the martial art of the process so quickly, but they will become a black belt in 4 or 5 years, which is at least half of what it takes the average person. And, mm-hmm. and fundamentals is one of those people who he understood Fourier. He understood Bitcoin and the game theory behind it and the incentive so well. And he still listens to 40 hours per week before this upper echelon of like black belt cryptographer cypherpunks, they can add another layer and improve who they are, speaking by doing 40 hours of math homework per week. Just because you're not in high school anymore and you're not in your formal education doesn't mean that you have to stop learning and improving by doing 40 hours of math homework per week. But the fundamentals, if you are ready for that kind of elite, you know, Pledge status, Bitcoin podcaster status, and you're ready for 40 hours of Bitcoin podcast plus 40 hours of math homework. And mostly retired guys, mostly boomers and stuff like that. But if you're ready for that, you should definitely check out Fundamentals. And they do like a live, it's like Twitter Spaces, but it's on Noster. And if you're having trouble with your math homework, or you want to ask one of the analysts to, if you want to show them your work, like you can do that in those sessions. Very cool.
Very cool. Yeah, Fundamentals is kind of like the BJ Penn of podcasting, Bitcoin podcasting, right?
Exactly. It's a very good way to put it. Yes.
Yeah, they refer to BJ Penn as the prodigy because he was able to get a black belt in jiu-jitsu. Like, I think the average person, it takes like a decade to get a black belt in jiu-jitsu.
Right. At least at the minimum.
Yeah. Yeah, BJ Penn was an absolute freak. Went from just a dude who fought other people on the island to having a black belt in a year. And then he proceeded to very quickly get a UFC title.
Yeah, there are people who study and practice Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu for 40 hours per week, and they take 10 years to get a black belt. Or something like Fundamentals, you know, if he was in Jiu-Jitsu, it's his efficient use, his value of those, and the effort he puts into those 40 hours per week of listening to Bitcoin podcasts that lets him transcend this, you know, much faster than the average player. Fundamentals wasn't even around. Fundamentals was still a crypto for Harris, not even a crypto for Harris, a white dude for Harris voter. When Sly Goomba originally started his Bitcoin podcast at the last cycle, Fundamentals didn't come in until after Celsius or right around Celsius. So he has progressed. His time preference is way off the charts low for somebody who's only been in this many years.
Totally. Yeah, I mean, one thing that I learned about Fundamentals recently is that his father was an accountant. And I think that's important. I think that's important, you know, because, like, you look at a guy like BJ Penn. He was predisposed to be a fighter. He had a lot of brothers, and he just grew up fighting. You know, that's just how it was, the environment he was in. I think there's other examples of individuals, you know, who have similar stories who are just kind of, they have a lot more of the groundwork already previously done, right? Like, you look at, like, somebody like Mike Tyson. He's another good example of somebody that's just like a freak of nature. So when you're looking at Fundamentals, his dad was an accountant. So his dad's job was to help people afford their taxes, right? So he grew up with his Jewish father. I don't think you want a non-Jewish accountant. You know what I mean? I think that's like kind of one.
No way. Even Kanye West would admit that.
Yeah. Totally. So you need to have a Jewish accountant. So, like, his father was like probably in the top one percentile of accountants. He was genetically predisposed to helping people afford their taxes. You know, and if that's the house, if that's the environment that you grow up in, you're going to understand Bitcoin a lot easier than most people. It's going to take you a lot less time.
Right. Being somebody who understands value and hard money and time preference, that is like a blood memory.
Mm-hmm.
It is passed down through generations. You can trust your progeny because they inherited their time preference from you. And this is why Svetsky is a proponent of monarchy, an orange-pilled monarchy, because the time preference of the monarch is tempered and passed down through generations. It is, you know, if you become king and your time preference is so low that, like, that is the sign from the creator.
Mm-hmm.
That you are bestowed that from, like, that is, I don't agree with that necessarily. I'm a much more inclusive person in Bitcoin podcast, right? I think that, you know, democracy is just as possible on a Bitcoin standard as a monarchy.
Bitcoin's for everybody.
Bitcoin is for everybody. And, you know, speaking of that, right now, Bitcoin, we talked about this, Bitcoin has done this below 100,000. Canada is now in the midst of this trade war, this tariff war. Donald Trump has put tariffs on Canada. He is seeking to onboard more taxpayers from Canada and Mexico. He would like to make Canada the 51st state. He would like to help Canadians afford their taxes. Right now, it's very difficult for Canadians to afford their taxes. And part of that reason is their currency. And right now, I think Justin Trudeau has the support of the country. But if Bitcoin drops below 100K in Canada, I think that people are going to start, they're going to stop supporting him. I think that is a real possibility how this plays out.
Yeah, I mean, you would hope that the Canadian people would have some loyalty to Trudeau because he was the one that got them to 100K before the U.S., which is a massive accomplishment.
You can't forget that. You cannot forget that Justin Trudeau was the first world leader to get Bitcoin to $100,000.
Yeah, right now the Bitcoin price in Canadian dollars is 143,000. So it'd be a pretty dramatic dump for it to go all the way back down to below 100,000.
So what was the Canadian Bitcoin price, a week ago or before the inauguration?
Oh, what day was the inauguration? That was on the 20th?
20th.
I believe. Okay. So on the 13th, it hit a low of like 136,000. And then...
They're very low risk of losing 100K. So, maybe Trudeau has more political capital left than we give him credit for. He might, perhaps he is a fighter.
Yeah, I mean, we're watching this serious divergence in, there's this new elite class that is forming in Canada, which is the Canadian Bitcoin podcast listener. They are experiencing a type of wealth at a time when all their peers in the country are incredibly impoverished. They're not having fun staying poor. They didn't listen to Bitcoiners' advice over the last few years to really plan on how to have fun staying poor.
And they're just how do you feel sorry for the Bitcoiners who are driving giant massive semi trucks around their house in circles, pointing their horns at them, telling them the Bitcoin was about to have already won? And if they didn't listen then, what is going to get their attention now?
I don't know. I mean, I think Canada just has to go through, I think the whole world kind of has to go through this Darwinian survival of the fittest, where the individuals that listen to the most Bitcoin podcasts are going to be the dominant ones, and the people that don't are going to go get vaccinated by Bill Gates and get sterilized and not have homeschooled children who are orange-pilled.
Yeah, I think... if you're in Canada, you should not look to what your government says. Look at their actions. Look at what they do. For example, one of our best followers, best boosters, Boomer. Boomer is an economist for the federal government in Canada. Mm-hmm. He's very open about this, and he's buying Bitcoin. So if you're in Canada, you need to look at the feds who have access to uncensored economic data, or buying Bitcoin hand over fist. That should be a sign to you that you should be doing the same thing.
Yeah, I mean,
the same with the Harper. Our president and his family, they're buying our new FBI director, they're buying Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. Donald Trump's buying wrapped Bitcoin. Watch what she is buying, not what the headlines and the mainstream media tell you.
Yeah. So to kind of recap what's happening, so there's a trade war that is escalated right now. Donald Trump placed tariffs on China, on Canada, and on Mexico. The Canadian government appears to be trying to get their citizens to use Bitcoin. And one of the strategies that they're using is they're doing retaliatory tariffs on the U.S., essentially making products more expensive so that the only way that Canadians can afford their 60% taxes as well as goods getting more expensive is to buy Bitcoin. Now, Mexico, on the other hand, is not adopting Bitcoin. Their government is also doing retaliatory tariffs, but instead their strategy is to try and get their citizens to use Tether because Mexico's in the global south, right? Like, this is the big difference.
Yeah, and it's honestly, I think once Donald Trump figures out what's going on and realizes that Canada is, the Canadians are buying Bitcoin to get around these tariffs that he's in place, that is when he will try to incentivize them. It'll be a compromise. We'll get rid of the Canadian dollar. People will stop buying Bitcoin in Canada because this is for Americans. Sats are for Americans. Canada can use Tether on Tron, and it will be really, I think it'll be celebrated, and it will be hailed as a great example of somebody from the global north who admits that it is time for them to admit that, you know, that they have to use Tether on Tron.
Yeah, I mean, that's a potential. I mean, I think what this Taproot Assets announcement that you can now use Tether on Lightning, I think
that's big.
Well, I think the timing was strategic. It was intentionally done at the time it was, right as these trade wars were really coming to an head, in order to make sure that these Canadians start using it.
Yeah, yeah. When you put it that way, it makes a lot of sense. They will probably be the first sovereign nation onboarded to Tether in the Merkle tree on Lightning. Will we open the same, you know, invitation for people in Mexico and people in Latin America and people in South America to use Tether on Lightning, or will we kind of keep them off on Tron?
Well, the battle that we're seeing play out in Canada. So Francis at Bull Bitcoin, he's pretty upset because he's been trying to get people to use Tether on Liquid. And now that there's support on Lightning, people are they're much less likely to use Liquid.
Well, then people have watched, you know, collectively thousands of hours of Lightning tutorials on YouTube with BTC sessions. And they have not watched, there's no BTC session. BTC sessions doesn't have popular Liquid tutorials. And I think that it's just right now, it's a market education issue for Samson.
Well, I think it's a big week for Samson and for Aqua Wallet in general. We're going to see more use of Tether on Liquid via Aqua Wallet.
Oh, and yeah, absolutely. And this is going to be a huge integration. It's, I mean, who's not going to want to use it now? I mean, who's not going to want to use that?
Yeah, I mean, my question is Aqua Wallet going to start supporting Tether on Lightning, or are they going to try and continue to propagate Lightning on Liquid primarily, like, which is going to be,
I think the users will make that decision for them. I think demand will make that decision for them. And I think that people are going to start kind of following this philosophy of my Lightning Tether, my, you know, LNUSDT is for my stable balance so I can pay my taxes. Mm-hmm. Everything after I can afford my taxes is going to go, you know, on-chain, cold storage, ETF, whatever your, pick your poison. But for paying your taxes, it's going to be very popular. You're going to have Lightning channels that get so out of balance, the only way, they're just going to have to plug straight into the IRS, and you'll just be able to pay you'll be able to stream sats as you're earning them in Tether or Lightning to the IRS. You won't have to file on April 15th. You'll just be streaming them sats all year long.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, that would be pretty cool use of the IRS, as they become essentially the de facto LSP or Lightning service provider.
Right. And if that's, you know, kind of what we've been working towards this whole time.
Well,
so it's interesting, you know, it'd be interesting if they use AMBOSS, if they go with Voltage, like what's going to be their infrastructure? LightSpark,
Zebedee,
River, you know, River, they've got great relationships with Peter Thiel. Like this would be a match made in heaven.
Totally. So I would argue probably the biggest loser this week is Jerome Powell and the Federal Reserve, because the fact that you can now have Tether on Lightning means that we're entering into the age where you can truly be your own central bank. You can issue your own stable coins on Lightning, and therefore you don't really need the Federal Reserve anymore.
Right. Look what Bitcoiners did to the rest of the commercial banking sector. It, over the past few years, has been in crisis. I mean, these banks have been failing left and right. They've needed all sorts of rescuing from the central banks just to stay, you know, liquid, or just to wind down and have, be taken over by the FDIC. And Bitcoiners did that. And now with Tether being able to be issued on the Lightning Network, they're just dematerializing central banks. And the central bankers, Jerome Powell, is looking with, I mean, he sees it. He may not admit it. He may not show us. He's got a good poker face. He's a lawyer. That's what he does. But he sees this train coming and totally disrupting central bankers, because now any pleb anywhere in the world can permissionlessly be their own central bank and fund their own Bitcoin podcast by boosting it on Fountain.
This is huge.
This is the pole shift. This is the vibe shift. It has no ceiling. The center, if the Federal Reserve is on its heels right now and you're bearish, I question, you've got some incentives that are misaligned somewhere in your head, and you got to get them fixed.
It's pretty obvious. Nothing stops this train.
Yeah. I mean, dude, people think that was a meme by Lynn Alden. It's not. It was a warning. It was a warning shot over the bow. And Jerome Powell did not. I mean, there's no way that Jerome Powell is not aware of Lynn Alden. She's one of the top macro podcast guests in the world. Everybody wants her. Everybody's trying to book her. He's listened to her podcast before. He has no excuse for his late, you know, he just didn't set them up to react.
Well, on the topic of podcasts, so I think something that could be potentially really bullish for the price, it sounds like Donald Trump, so he has offered a bunch of federal workers paid time off for 8 months. It's a pretty good deal for them.
It's a buyout.
So the question I have is, how do we convert all these feds that are getting these severance packages? How do we convert them into Bitcoin podcasters? How do we
them? That's a good, I mean, this is a, it's bigger than the buyout. It's bigger than the PTO. It is, they're buying out these contracts of all these federal employees, and they're also firing feds. And a lot of those feds are, you know, just think about when, you know, a huge Bitcoin company, they go bankrupt, or, you know, their IPO goes down and they have to pull back. Think of the presence, the vacuum, that has to be filled on Twitter spaces, on morning Twitter spaces. It goes away. And so a lot of these feds, because that budget, those budget cuts hit those influencers first. And so there's just going to be way fewer feds on spaces on Twitter, especially Bitcoin spaces, way fewer hot feds, way fewer girlfriends, way fewer, you know, girls in the Telegram chats. You know, some of them, you know, the popular ones. We talked to Mars about this. It's going to be, you know, they're going to be out of a job. They're going to have to stop looking at Bitcoin influencer as a, you know, they have to go solo. They're going to have to start their own podcast. They're going to have to get their own sponsors. It's, one is the fastest way for them to win the podcast.
Yeah. There were government programs attempting to teach coal miners that lost their jobs how to podcast, or sorry, how to code. And I think that's...
And Steve Barber learned to podcast.
Yeah. Wait, well, that should be the meme, right? Learn to podcast instead of learn to code.
All right, AI is taking the coding jobs. Yeah, AI is taking the coding jobs. Coding is not going to save you. You're going to have to learn to be a Bitcoin podcaster.
Yeah.
If you want to afford your taxes, that is, not everybody's going to be able to afford their taxes, but we're kind of in this new regime. You know, people for many years have been using it almost as a slur that being a taxpayer is because you're privileged. You can pay, afford the taxes, you have privilege, you're a taxpayer, you have taxpayer privilege. And it's time that as a collective, we're kind of coming to agreement and saying, yeah, it is a privilege to be able to afford your taxes. Mm-hmm. And it's time we remember that. It's time we start prioritizing society's needs for taxpayers.
Yeah. Well, this has been a meme for a while that individuals on the political left have been propagated. And this idea of taxing those who can afford to pay their taxes, right? Tax the taxpayers.
Put this burden, not only that, just not even acknowledging that, yes, there's these fewer percentage of the population who are paying them. But where are we getting them for that in return? And there has to be an incentive, a privilege to being able to afford the taxes, or else people will not work to become taxpayers.
Well, this is a big part of what PodConf is trying to do, which is, you know, I think the Trump administration with this strategic stockpile has given Bitcoiners a reason to want to pay their taxes, which is that their taxes go into pumping the price of Bitcoin and meme coins and shitcoins, right? That's something that is exciting for them. But, you know, PodConf has a different philosophy on this, which is just the act of compliance in and of itself is defiance and creates NGU.
Right. If we have NGU and Bitcoiners can afford their taxes, well, then the government becomes reliant on Bitcoiners who are compliant and paying their taxes. So the power dynamic shifts. They need us. We don't need them. So as long as we continue to pump the price, they have to do that if they want to have to be able to afford the government.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Bitcoiners should be looking at getting creative here. So we have an administration that's a lot friendlier towards us, and we should be looking for how to milk it, right? We should be looking at potentially redirecting federal subsidies from condoms in Gaza to sponsoring the bar tab at meetups.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it would almost be like we take all the funding away from NPR and we redirect it to Bitcoin podcasters through Found Boosts, and we can kind of have this public federal government compliant conversation about how we can use Bitcoin to save for our future and our ability to afford taxes. And we can broadcast that out for the whole country to listen to.
Totally. But yeah,
we can warn the people who can't, you know, who are looking for a credentialed source. They've capitulated. They've admitted they made a mistake and they didn't buy Bitcoin, but they want compliant legal sources to be orange-pilled by. And Dennis Porter and this new, you know, these new government podcasts that they're boosting, they can be that avenue.
One of the topics that I thought was pretty interesting that I wanted to talk about. So credentialed journalist Pete Rizzo, he reported on this interesting story. So the I think they're called the Pod 256 Foundation, the guys at Bitcoin Network. So I think Matt Dell might be involved with that. They hit a Bitcoin block solo mining with a future bit miner.
I mean, that's huge news. That was awesome. I mean, you got to think about Marathon with all that money they're spent and they're getting beat by solo miners.
Yeah. I mean, that might be them. Yeah. I think the question for big miners is, why are they deploying a bunch of hash rate, which is expensive to maintain, when they could be deploying a bunch of bit axes at a very low cost? Like, they're not going to have very high power costs, but if they hit a block with a bit axe, they're like, power expenditure versus Bitcoin income is so high. So the question I have for them is it time for them to change their model? Should they all be solo mining?
That's a really good question, and that's going to be something that's probably going to be a topic over the next couple of years, because right now we look at the hash rate, and all we know from this is that miners are extremely bullish, even at these very thin razor margins. Some of them are operating unprofitably. If they're bullish now, there's this many people who are bullish about it. Imagine what it's going to be when the price is $1 million per coin later this year, when it's potentially $2 trillion USDT per sat. Think about how bullish miners are going to be then. But if the miners who make the strategic smart decisions to rethink their business model, to get cheaper, to get leaner, and in some cases partner with the Trump administration to get subsidies, they can corner that future and be the ones who take over the hash rate. And solo, the solo miners, they could take over pools. It can be a huge, on-chain war that you want to get in early. You want to see this coming.
Yeah. I mean, you think it would be fair to predict that the future bit or the bit axe will be a lot more predominant in determining network hash rate versus some of these other miners? Or is that too bullish?
Some people might say that it's too early or that it's too bullish, but if you look at what is shaking up the AI industry right now and like totally causing everybody to rethink it's becoming to the point where these large language models are becoming commoditized and they're becoming deprecated in a few days, a few weeks, by the time the next one comes out. And they're spending so much money to build these, and people didn't think that Elon could launch all of the GPUs for their AI project and get it running and working in less than like 2 years, but they did it in a few months and people laughed at them. And then this DeepSeek came out and proved that it can outperform these huge operations, these huge corporate VC ventures. And then DeepSeek comes around and proves they can be done for so much cheaper. And then somebody has, people are talking about the fact that BitAxe is able to solo mine blocks. It's obsoleting some of these big mining pools and some of these big mining operations. It's a race to zero, hash rate.
It's a very fascinating time. I think this,
not a race to zero hash rate, a race to zero cost hash rate.
Yeah. I think when you're able to mine with a bit axe at such a low cost, it really kind of kills Peter Todd's argument about the security budget.
Right. Exactly. Your wife won't complain about the bit axe noise. Their neighbors won't complain. I mean, part of the, if things don't change, people are going to be so bullish in Bitcoin mining and these big operations that if you don't capitulate and buy Bitcoin, you will not be able to afford to live any place far enough away from a Marathon mining operation to not lose your mind.
Totally.
So we want an alternative to things like Marathon.
Makes sense.
An F2 pool. In Ocean, if you don't want to figure out how to run knots, that's why we'll use Ocean if you want to make money.
Yeah. I mean, if you don't believe in the ideology pool, if you don't believe that people should eat cats than just solo mine instead of using Ocean. It's pretty obvious. I think that, yeah, we've got some pretty crazy weeks ahead of us, but before we hop over to the Fountain Boost, I just want to talk about some projects we're working on. So I'm excited. You are working on your own merch line right now. You've got the 40 HPW.
Yeah, the 40 hours per week. We started with the not Marlboro pack, 40 hours per week. The, you know, the Silk Road edition commemorating Ross being freed. And then, you know, just a bunch of other ones like, I wish, you know, it's for the wife, it's for the, my husband is a Bitcoin podcaster, or I wish I was a Bitcoin podcast so my husband would listen to me, you know, things like that. And there's also one, if you, you know, just a Bitcoin podcast listener, there's a 40 hours per week t-shirt, some merch, some swag for you, especially where you can buy it in time to get to the Bitcoin conferences this year. If you don't want to wear PodConf approved gear. And there's one coming out just with the 40 hours per week we talked about on the previous podcast, you know, donating to us and, you know, boosting us on Fountain, or taking that and changing your Noster or Twitter handle for 40 hours per week to get that out there. Because honestly, 40 hours per week is how you, it's how you fix the worst, how you orange pull the world. That's what Dennis is doing. That's what we're doing.
Yeah. I mean, when you wear a merch, you're making a statement. You're changing the world. There's not a lot of products where you could change the world positively. Like if you wear Nike clothing, you change the world, but it's in a negative way. You support child slavery, right? When you wear the 40 HPW gear, you're supporting the intellectual Silk Road. You're actually undermining PodConf. You're also supporting Bitcoin podcasts and Bitcoin podcast listeners. And a huge part of creating change is creating culture. And we need to create a culture where the coolest people in the world are those that are listening to the most Bitcoin podcasts. They're the individuals that are the best equipped. You know, like it's a form of credentialism, right? It's a form of credentialism. Yeah.
Think about 20, 30 years ago. If you saw somebody who wore a Harvard t-shirt or a Yale hoodie, you were like, this person is qualified to answer my questions, to peer review my paper, to talk about politics. Mm-hmm. But now anybody can buy those. Anybody can just get a print shop from China to put Harvard Law School on a t-shirt. And you can wear it and nobody will accuse you of stolen valor. Now, there's the only people who anybody's going to respect and want to have these conversations when they need help is going to be somebody who they know that person is a Bitcoin podcaster or a Bitcoin podcast listener.
Yeah. If you see a man wearing a yarmulke, you know that the person is, they have the correct credentials to help you afford your taxes. And wearing the 40 HPW gear is kind of the same way. Like you're talking to somebody that's credentialed enough to explain game theory to you, to explain
right and macroeconomic. Kids walking down the street with their parents, or you know, watching TV, they see somebody wearing a Bitcoin podcast t-shirt. That's like, I want to be like that person when I grow up. Somebody who's like, I want to be a first responder. Well, a Bitcoin podcaster oftentimes is a first responder. When breaking news, huge game theory altering situations are taking place. It's Bitcoin podcasters who are responding to that first and helping people navigate the chaos of the clown world in this, like, Bitcoin has already won future.
100%. So yeah, go over to Orange Label. We'll have the link in the show notes. Go check out the gear. Go check out the merch.
Check it all out.
Help usher in a bright orange future. The next topic I wanted to talk about as far as housekeeping. So there's a couple projects I'm working on. So one of the projects I'm working on is I'm working on compiling all of our past articles into yearly books. So we're going to do a book with all the articles from 2023 and 2024 that will be available eventually for purchase on Liberty Under Attack. I'm excited about that. I had a call with Rayo about that. So I think that's going to, it's going to take a little bit. It's going to take a period of probably a couple months to get that accomplished. But that I think will be helpful for individuals. If you're interested in something like that, just ping me, because I want to gauge interest on how many people would be interested in something like this. Another project, so that Rod and I have been working on, is we are going to do the Bugles. And the Bugles are the premier Bitcoin podcasting awards. It's an award.
The only Bitcoin podcasting awards. And it's going to be the biggest and the best. Mm-hmm. And by far the most bullish.
Totally.
And PodConf is report AO. We don't always agree with PodConf. We don't always trust. You certainly can never trust PodConf. But we both share a very important vision, which is getting people to listen to 40 hours per week and advocating for Bitcoin podcasters. That's why they're helping. They're helping us put this on. So, you know, it will be very well labeled when you're watching a PodConf ad or a PodConf shill during the Bugles. But the rest of them will be cheer signal.
So that's something to look out for. We do not have a hard date, but we're planning on doing that Q1 of this year. So we're going to get it done before the year's over. So look out, before the quarter's over. So look out for that. We'll keep you posted. But I think it's going to be one of the most important events to happen to Bitcoin. I think this is going to be bigger than the Sailor 100K party. This is going to be bigger than the Satoshi Roundtable that's happening in Dubai. This is going to be bigger than the Bitcoin Magazine conference, even. This is going to be an earth-shattering event, because Bitcoin podcasters are the front line. They're the ones that determine the price of Bitcoin. They're the ones that are teaching the masses how to buy non-KYC cigarettes, how to live dignified lives, how to afford their taxes. They're the ones that are propping up the global economy on their backs, like Atlas. And for so long, they haven't gotten the recognition that they deserve. They've just been shit on. You know, people have said stupid things like, oh, wow, another Bitcoin podcast. When in reality, they should have a national holiday for Bitcoin podcasters, where people go and they thank a Bitcoin podcaster.
You should get discounts at Olive Garden, just like veterans do. It should be a day similar to Veterans Day, just showing respect for Bitcoin podcasters and just giving them the validation that they've earned. Mm-hmm. And that's part of what we're trying to do with the Bugles. And yes, it's going to be huge, and it's going to be important. And we've already sent in invitations to the president. You've extended invitations to Peter McCormick. We've extended invitations to the Four Horsemen of PodConf. We've extended invitations to Dennis Porter to be a part, and many more. And if there's anybody in the influencers, especially the ones we named, that you would like to make sure that they know that you're looking forward to their participation and their in this seminal moment for Bitcoin podcast, the things that they owe, everything that they've got to Bitcoin podcast, and it's time to celebrate that and let them know. Maybe we can get the president. You know, he said maybe.
Yeah, we'll have to ping Barron, because Barron understands the importance of podcasts. A lot of people are under the belief that the only reason that the president did Rogan was because of Barron. So
yeah, and
if anybody has any connections there, let us know.
Everybody's welcome. Even though we don't always see eye to eye, we'd love to have Pledger be a part of the Bugles.
Would you? I don't know. Pledger might be hard to appease, because he has a pretty strict purity test when it comes to participating in something.
I think it'd be really fitting and an honor to have Pledger and Mike Brock, and they could be kind of like sitting up in the balcony, kind of like the two critics in the Muppets, all the Muppet movies. having Clatter and Mike Brock giving their honest opinion, counting, you know, impeachable offenses, fighting the shitcoiners. It's, you know, that would be for them. It'd be for the people who they really like to follow their influence on the timeline.
Totally. One question I have. So this might be too long of a tangent to really get into, but Tim Pool has been missing. I don't know if you knew this. Nobody knows where Tim Pool is. He has not been podcasting at all this week. So,
Mommy, what's about that? Is there any conspiracy theories about this?
Well, whenever this is something that I learned working in mainstream media, is that whenever a big media personality disappears, there's a chance that they are essentially getting reprogrammed by the CIA. So they're going and getting some training. And we know that the Trump administration is really shaking up the intelligence agencies. And as a result of that, he's going to be shaking up how the intelligence agencies interact with the media. And so I wonder if that's what's happening, if Tim is working with the MAGA contingent of the CIA covertly right now. That would be my first question. But yeah, there's not a lot of people throwing theories out there. They probably just assume he's on vacation or something.
Looks like this podcast was 2 days ago. Is he missing since then?
Well, he's having other people do the Timcast IRL podcast.
Gotcha. Okay, so if people who listen to the All In podcast, one of the main hosts, David Sachs, was recruited into the Trump deep state. Then he's been absent from that podcast as well. So, you know, we may see Tim with a new role. Maybe he's going to be part of Doge.
Do you think Doge is going to be recruiting podcasters?
Well, absolutely. The first Doge Spaces. So by the time you listen to this, it'll be too late. But it was tonight, Sunday, well, Monday morning at midnight. Time zone, Elon didn't say. But he's doing the first Spaces to give an update on the Doge progress. So that is going to spin out from regular Spaces or irregular Spaces, recurring Spaces. Then it's definitely going to start trickling into podcasts and become the focus of many podcasts, I think.
Cool. Well, shall we get into the Fountain Boost?
Let's do it.
I had another tangent I wanted to go on, but then I forgot. So the last show we did was titled The Future is Wrapped. Total boost for the show comes out to 31,000 sats. We had the return of Miss Hot-A-Lot, 420.
We haven't heard from her in a while. Maybe she was at the same place Tim Pool was there. I wonder, we already said she's not a fan, but I guess we'll verify for sure. She's complaining about being unemployed and laid off or having a bunch of PTO to go to conferences in terms of non-KYC cigarettes with Bitcoin podcasters this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I don't know about your end, but on my end, the first boost is from Anonymous. I'm not sure if that's a fountain bug or if they're actually named Anonymous. Can you tell on your end?
Well, I checked that earlier. That's what I thought. So Ms. Hall not changed her username or is showing up as Anonymous, which could be a Fed sign.
It could be. Very well could be a Fed sign. I need to check on a different device. Actually, it doesn't matter. We'll just read it. So Anonymous for 20,000 sats says, I'm not looking forward to a wrapped feature. I don't think you have a choice. Like, you're just going to have to learn how to deal with the wrapped feature. It's one of those harsh realities that a lot of people need to find a way to come to peace with, that the world is changing. It's changing incredibly quickly. Might not be changing in the ways that they find ideal, but change doesn't mean things are necessarily bad. I don't know if you've got any thoughts on that, Rod.
I don't think it's productive to look at it as good or bad. I think it's best to just accept it for what it is and adapt.
Yeah, you just have to accept the game theory. You have to realize that this is all part of Satoshi's plans. I used to stay up at night thinking about the security of the Bitcoin network until I got on the Bitcoin Twitter and I saw all the work that Dennis is doing. There, we have so many juggernauts on our side pushing for a bright orange future. There might be some questions about David Bailey's tactics, but it doesn't mean that we're losing or anything bad is necessarily happening. I feel like the wrapped future we're craning towards is actually incredibly bullish.
Yeah, you could spend your time complaining about what you wish was but isn't, or you can stay humble and stack wrapped sats.
Well, thank you for the boost, Anonymous.
Next one is from Dave. 40 hours per week, Dave from New Zealand, 2100 sats. What Ross Did podcast will be the number one Bitcoin podcast of 2025. Hashtag 40 hours per week headphones. That comes in from Noster. Yeah, that was my prediction, essentially. I think that you condensed it down to what it's going to be, what Ross Did, number one, 2025, and I'll be listening.
Totally. I think the What Ross Did podcast would be a very interesting podcast.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be big, but I think people want to know what Ross didn't do. What Ross Did would be a great biography, so he can tell his story instead of what the media says his story was.
It doesn't matter. I keep on trying to do things that don't matter. I'm getting distracted over here.
Thank you, Dave. 2100 sats.
I didn't know Dave was from New Zealand. So that means Dave talks funny.
Oh, yeah. It would be funny to hear him and Shinobi argue on Twitter Spaces.
Yeah. Our next boost is from our good friend and regular booster, BTC on board for 300 sats. And it's just a bunch of lightning emojis. So, one of the things that's in BTC on board's bio or Noster name is hashtag LNHance or hashtag CTV. The mempool cleared this week, and you astutely pointed out that CTV shills have been incredibly quiet.
Yeah, they've really been using yellow journalism, scare tactics, intimidation, and just very aggressive spaces appearances. Making Ruben Sandwich their kind of their gang symbol, pushing this governance and these soft force and these enhancements to Bitcoin, saying that we need to we can scale to the global south being able to get off Tether on Tron. But unfortunately, there's just not the block space demand to make these necessary, because people have decided to use layer twos like wrapped Bitcoin in the ETF and MicroStrategy. And these have been shields for plebs to be able to transact on chain sovereignly at a low cost, mm-hmm. be able to consolidate their UTXOs. I don't know if it can last, but for now, it's kind of like climate change alarmism. They think that, in 5 years, the climate's going to flood everything, or the mempool's going to be flooded, and you're just not going to be able to afford to transact on chain. But the mempool cleared, we were above 100K. So mm-hmm.
Well, if you listen closely to Luke Jr., he made a comment. The mempool denier. He doesn't believe the mempool exists.
Yeah, I don't know if he means that literally or figuratively, but maybe, is a cleared mempool? Does it exist? Maybe that's a philosophical question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he could have meant it metaphorically instead of literally. Though, knowing Luke is autistic, so he doesn't tend to speak in metaphors. Everything he says tends to be taken literally, right?
That's true. We'll have to follow that and see what he means. Yeah. A lot of people were calling him retarded for that.
It'd be interesting to interview Luke. Luke, we'd like to have you on behind the podcast at some point and hear you explain your thoughts on the mempool to us. Yeah.
The last, the BTCM board, and thank you for posting that. Want to know your opinion is on covenants now that the mempool is clear. Do you still need them? Are you going to take them out of your handle? Let us know. The last news is from Delwyn E. 200 sats. His message is LOL. A lot. Thank you, Delwyn.
Thank you very much.
I don't personally think that the topics of conversation last week, I thought they were very serious. I wouldn't think they were very funny, but you know, everybody's got a different time preference for humor. So thanks for listening.
Mm-hmm. Well, before we wrap up the show, I just want to say, I want to give a shout out to an individual that's been making a lot of moves, an individual that's been talking about doing their own Bitcoin podcast, an individual that's engaging in the value for value music ecosystem and is really acting as a disruptor, trying to bootstrap a music label. And that is Philip D. McCombs.
Cleveland. Shout out to Cleveland.
Yeah. Shout out to Cleveland. Shout out to the Cleveland Bitcoiners. Shout out to 2020 Innovations. Shout out to all the artists that up is representing. Shout out.
I want to add to my predictions for 2025. And I want to say it's contingent on the hustle. It's contingent on the grind. It's contingent on the proof of work. But I think if Philip grinds hard enough to build his Bitcoin music label, that by the end of 2025, Aubrey Strobel will follow him back on Twitter.
I'm kind of amazed she hasn't already. I don't know why she's hanging out with that Jacob Penny guy when she could be
Daniel Penny. Yeah.
Yeah. Daniel Penny.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard. It's hard to know the female mind, but I think that with a little more proof of work, Philip will catch her eye.
Mm-hmm. One last thing I want to say before ending the show that I'm excited about. We're working with Maggie Morris on a new segment of the show. We have asked her to answer questions, dating advice questions. If you are an orange cell, if you need dating advice from a credentialed woman, let her know. Either put your questions in the boost or message her or tag her on Twitter.
Yeah, next time we may come up with like a non-KYC phone hotline for you to call in and record your message. But for now, you know, you can DM her directly, Crypto Epstein, maybe an audio message, just write to her or put it in the boosts. Do whatever you want to do. We'll make sure it gets to her. And if it makes the episode, the segment, she will answer the questions that you have to women about how, as a Bitcoiner, as an orange-pilled individual, meaning orange cell, how you can solve your problems with getting a girlfriend.
Totally. Looking forward to that one. But yeah, you got any last things before we wrap up this episode?
No, I think we covered everything. I think we're excited for the Bugles and we're excited for 40 hours per week. You want a t-shirt? Go get one. Support the culture. But at the very least, don't stop listening to 40 hours per week.
Well, thanks for tuning in and we'll catch you next week on the Bugle Weekly.
Headphones on, volume up, headphones on, volume up. I came for the money, I came for the gains. I wanted a Lambo and side chicks on planes. But after a while, my NPC brain became obsessed with the immutable chain. And that's just the start.
difficulty adjustment. Turn my world upside down, then breed love and sailor dropped. A track called thermodynamically sound. Before I could notice, my path had been set. I was orange pilled so hard. I was a national security. That's just the start. Now I'm in the podcast studio 2 days a week. I haven't missed a meetup in 21 weeks. Now I pick the conference over my own wedding. I'm so far down the rabbit hole, I don't see it ending. That's just the start.